This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time 12:05. It's Friday, June 2nd. Good afternoon. I'm Regine Schlesinger.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. Mostly sunny this Friday, and there's no lake effect. We're in the low 80s at O'Hare and the lakefront. The five-day forecast coming up.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank and also sponsored by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Certainly not junk on Wall Street today. There are some gains. The Dow is up. The NASDAQ is up. And the S&P 500 is up as well. Let's get the latest as we check in with Elisa Parenti at Bloomberg.
That's right, Regine and Chris. This is the highest that Wall Street has ever traded to. We're looking at fresh records again today with the Dow advancing 63 points or a third of a percent, NASDAQ higher by 47 and the S&P up 7. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is gaining a third of a percent. The government's jobs report shows 163,000 jobs were added to the U.S. economy in May. That was far fewer than the closer to 200,000 that had been forecast. The Labor Department also has revised numbers from the previous 2 months to show 66,000 fewer jobs were created than first reported. Also coming in a little differently than expected, the U.S. unemployment rate at 4.3% instead of the forecast 4.4% as the nation's labor force participation rate unexpectedly fell to 62.7%. And wages didn't grow either. Average hourly earnings increased 2.5%. I guess I should say they didn't grow as much as hoped. That gain over the past year, and it follows a downward revision in April's wage measure. That's less than the 2.6% expected. Crude oil futures headed for a big weekly drop, down almost 4%, and now at $47.85 a barrel. Back to you, Regine and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we're going to discuss today's jobs report with economist Diane Swonk, get her take on that and the economy. And this question, should parents cut off financial aid to post-college children? There is a debate on that. We'll join it.
Entrepreneur Friday to post-college kids have gotten into happy hour. We'll talk about it. They're marketing pre-packaged drinks, drink mixes. And when you're booking a vacation, should you go directly to the hotel site for your hotel rooms, or should you go to one of those conglomerate sites? Which one are you better off with? We'll talk about that.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The government jobs report for May headlines today's data, and we are joined by Diane Swonk, economist, founder of DS Economics at dianeswonk.com here in Chicago. Diane, 138,000 jobs created last month and downward revisions in previous months. What's your take on this?
Well, the good news is we don't need to generate as many jobs as we once did to keep the unemployment rate falling. Unfortunately, the unemployment rate fell for the wrong reasons today and not the right reasons, and that is because we also saw a reduction in those participating in the labor force. That said, you know, it's really a mixed report. It does tell us that the labor market continues to tighten and we're still moving towards what we call full employment in economics. That sounds good when you say it. In reality, what it means is that we're approaching the point where employers have employed most employable workers. There are still, you know, workers on the sidelines that clearly aren't even putting their hat in the ring, and that's important because they don't have the skills necessary to get the jobs that we are now generating. In fact, many of the employers I'm now talking to are saying they're investing in training and hiring lower-skilled workers, in some cases even people with very little skills, paying less and investing in their training to try to bring them up to speed. They don't have the productivity growth they once had, so they're not willing to sort of bid up those wages. We also know that, you know, millennials now dominate the labor force, and they're replacing a lot of baby boomers who are retiring out, which is holding down wages as well.
Diane, one of the trends that we've talked a lot about here on the Noon Business Hour in recent months is the retail stores are closing, laying off people. That shows up in this report. Also, government jobs, a lot of layoffs.
Yes, what we saw was the decline in retail, although small. This was really going against the fact that retailers not hiring up. We're still not seeing, we're going to see a lot more store closings. And so brace yourself for much bigger retail losses over the summer. That's going to be one of the stories we have to watch. It's not a commentary on what the consumer is spending, but how they're spending their money. They're spending it more on services and more online rather than walking into stores. And there is going to be a lot of store closings. We did lose some retail employment, although not nearly as much as we will see going forward, because we've got hundreds of stores that are now slated and announced to be closed over the next several months. That's very important on the government side. Really kind of interesting switch we saw is we lost a lot of jobs at the state and local level, and that's been a place of strength. We gained jobs at the federal level, and that is an interesting pivot. The U.S. Postal Service in particular hired up, and they've been trying to reach out to millennials because they've been having one of the biggest move on retirements. They've lost a lot of people in the U.S. Postal Office, so much so that they now have jobs that are empty that they do need to fill, even though we don't send as much as we used to through snail mail and through the U.S. Postal Service. And if you look on their website, you can really see this whole sort of facelift they've tried to do to appeal to millennials to come in and work as postal workers.
Diane, just seconds left, but does this spook the Fed on the next rate hike?
Doesn't spook the Fed on the next rate hike, which is in a couple of weeks. June, we will get a rate hike. It is questionable. We'll get one in September. I think we'll still get a third one in before the end of the year, but the Fed's going to have to wait a little bit longer to get inflation up to a rate that it feels comfortable to raise rates that third time this year.
Diane, thanks so much. Diane Swank, economist and founder of DS Economics at DianeSwank.com. And coming up, it might be time to stop giving money to your grown kids.
Discussing your dollars, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Some adult children might be accustomed to getting money from their parents, but there comes a time when that might have to come to an end. We're talking about it with Tony Ogorek, founder of Ogorek Wealth Management in Buffalo, New York. And Tony, we talk about cutting the cord with cable and telephone service, but maybe it's time for parents of adult children to cut the cord. How do you know when that time comes?
Well, it's a tough thing for parents to really deal with, because they're so close to their kids. And, I guess one of the prime indicators would be is if, one of the parents feels that they're being subjected to emotional blackmail. In other words, their feeling is that they really don't want to do something, that they don't want to have to give them that $200 or $300 a month, but they're afraid to say something, afraid to alienate them, afraid to offend them, and it just keeps going on, and there's no end to it.
It's very hard for parents, isn't it? I mean, there are those emotional ties, and you never want your children to suffer or have to go without. And if they're struggling, if they've got a couple of jobs, part-time jobs to try to make ends meet, how do you resist the temptation to maybe pass them a couple of $100 each month?
Well, I think there are some positive things that people can do. As a parent, you've been guiding, your kids their whole life. And I think, one of the best things to do would be to sit down with them and say, look, let's just take a look at your spending. Income is a function of spending to an extent. And how much do you have on credit? And how well are you managing that? Are you going out to Starbucks 5 days a week? Are you eating out a lot? Are you spending money on vaping? What are you doing, and where can we cut back to try and get you in line with a budget? And finally, if it's difficult for them to talk to, talk to their kids, maybe they're going to suggest maybe a fee-only planner and say, look, I will buy 1 hour of their time. You sit down with them and have them take a look at your budget and see what recommendations they can make.
Some, if not many, of these parents who have children in their 20s out of college may also have elderly parents themselves.
Exactly. And so they're caught really the sandwich generation between trying to launch their kids and trying to take care of their own parents. And in the midst of that, they're trying to save for their own retirement, in a somewhat, uncertain economic environment. I mean, understandably, we hear about artificial intelligence and the fact that jobs are going to be wiped out, by the gross. People are wondering what's going to be happening to me. So it definitely is a stressful time for people. But I do think for their kids, it's useful to set a deadline. And why not say, look, I'm going to give you a target date. Maybe it's 3 months or 6 months off. And say, you're going to be, backing off at that point, just to give you fair warning. Or maybe you work with some step-down payments. And if you're giving your kid $500 a month, maybe you'll say every 2 months, I'm knocking it down 100. Fair warning, and then, you know, you're on your own after X period of time. And, you know, so instead of complaining, feeling bad, I think if you've got some positive steps you can take, you know, the kids may be receptive.
Well, it's an interesting situation to think about and to plan for. Also, Tony, thanks for joining us today. Tony Agoric is founder of Agoric Wealth Management in Buffalo, New York. Just ahead, we've got the latest numbers from Wall Street.
WBBM News Time 12:25 as we take a look at what's happening on the markets right now. Over to Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
Regine, the record-breaking gains continue. The Dow is up 59 points, NASDAQ higher by 48, and the S&P up 7. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is higher by 0.25%. Airlines are providing a lot of lift after Delta revealed fuller planes and more profits per seat per mile in May. Delta up 3%, United Continental gaining almost 2.5%. Oil stocks, though, headed in the other direction. Russia's most powerful oil boss says output curbs by OPEC and its partners probably won't succeed over the long term because the U.S. is producing so much oil. Crude down about 4% so far this week, right now at $47.82 a barrel. And mixed signals from the Labor Department for the big jobs report for May. The unemployment rate fell to a 16-year low, 4.3%. Hiring, though, on the other hand, was slower than forecast in May. The Labor Department finds employers added 138,000 jobs. Now let's turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
Mostly higher through the day. Corn's been up as much as 4 after being down 1. At the moment, December, up 2 at 391 and a quarter. The high was 93. Beans for November, up 7.5 at 925 and a quarter, down 2.5 off their high. And wheat up a half at 429.5, 4.5 off its high. Higher across the board here at the end of the week. A little short covering, a little worry about drying out now instead of too much rain. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time 12:31. Good afternoon. I'm Regine Schlesinger.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Markets are rallying on this final trading day of the week. We'll see what's moving the markets.
Entrepreneur Friday, a Chicago company that's gaining ground in the competitive beverage industry.
Travel booking sites can offer some great deals, but they might not always be your best bet.
There are lines around the block for the first ever Nutella Cafe, now open in downtown Chicago.
The Trump administration defends its decision to withdraw from the Paris Climate Agreement.
Wall Street, the Dow Industrials up 58, NASDAQ up 50, and the S&P 500 up 7.5.
Looking for a high of 86 degrees this afternoon. Right now, it's 82 degrees. The WBBM Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank.
Well, we're seeing gains on Wall Street today, and we welcome Michael Palumbo, who is founder of Third Millennium Trading and author of the book Calculated Risk. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Michael. The markets are positive today after the president's announcement yesterday and also after a disappointing jobs report this morning. What do you think?
Yeah, good afternoon. I think that the jobs report was, it came in at 138,000 jobs added versus expectations of 185. So it was a pretty good miss. It was a disappointment. So that gave a bid to bonds. And the natural reaction was that people would think that stocks would sell off to this. But they opened unchanged and they've rallied all morning long. And they're up near highs in the day right now. So you've got bonds rallying and stocks rallying at the same time, which doesn't happen very often. So whether you're at long bonds or stocks, if you're on the long side, you're winning today.
And if you are an investor and you are in the NASDAQ, are we starting to get a little nervous about the strength of the NASDAQ?
Yeah, it's at all-time highs. It goes up generally every day more than the overall market. So tech stocks especially have benefited over the last, actually, it's been a long time that they've outperformed, and especially since the Trump administration came in. I don't think there's a real correlation there, but it definitely has happened that way, and they remain strong. I think people believe in companies like Facebook, like Apple. They're leading the market higher, and they continue to do so.
Are stocks moving higher today because this gives investors optimism that the Fed is going to back off of its plans to start raising interest rates as aggressively as it might have?
You know, I don't believe it does, because the Fed is signaling, and the market still believes that there's going to be a raise this month at the meeting. So I don't think this is going to change the Fed policy. And some of the governors have actually already come out and kind of signaled that they are going to raise in June. So the expectation is they are going to continue to do what they've been doing. And really, it's just that corporate earnings, it's an interesting time, because corporate earnings came in very good for first quarter, yet the macro numbers like unemployment and things like that are not that great. So you have a situation where the corporations are still earning record profits, but the jobs reports are not that strong. So bonds are staying strong and stocks are staying strong at the same time. It's a really unique environment.
It's pretty ironic, because the conventional wisdom was that under President Trump, conditions were going to be better for business, and that they would start hiring more, especially with the repeal of Obamacare. Is the conventional wisdom wrong? I mean, the last 2 months have been pretty...
Is the president hasn't been able to get anything really done yet. He's signaled what he wants to do. He wants to change the tax code, make it a little bit simpler, and also lower taxes. And he's said that he's going to have some other fiscal stimulus, basically in adding to jobs and such. But so far he hasn't been able to do anything. So the market is anticipating increases in infrastructure spending, lower taxes, but they haven't seen it yet. So it's interesting that I think the expectations are still in the stock market, but we haven't seen the actual indication that's going to happen.
Michael, what's your advice to investors right now?
You know, I say this a lot. I want to repeat it. Just stay very diversified, because today's a great example. Be long some bonds, be long some stocks. Have it diversified so that on days like today, you're actually winning on both sides. And let's say the market does take a turn for the worst. Generally, that means that bonds will rally and you'll have some protection in bonds. So I would just stay diversified. This market is very frothy at this point, and you don't want to have all your eggs in one basket.
Well, your book is called Calculated Risk. What's a calculated risk right now?
Well, I love home builders, and I love airlines, and I've been that way all year. They've both performed very well this year. I don't think that's going to change. Those are my two favorite sectors. A stock that I like is General Motors, just because I think it's a very deep value, very, very cheap stock where it is right here. But I would say, as far as sectors, I like home builders and airlines, and I would be very careful of healthcare here, just because right now healthcare costs are in the spotlight. And anytime you're in the spotlight, you just don't want to be you don't want to be on the radar. And right now, that's a sector that I'd be a little bit concerned about.
Michael, thanks for joining us today. Michael Palumbo, founder of Third Millennium Trading and author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. Ahead, Entrepreneur Friday, we'll meet the co-founder of a growing Chicago beverage company.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It is Entrepreneur Friday. We focus today on a local company that's making moves in the beverage market. We talk with Jeff Shelton, co-founder of 88 East Beverage Company here in Chicago. Jeff, welcome to the program. And first, tell us about the name of your company, 88 East.
So 88 East, the reason we came up with that name, my business partner and I, we both went to school at NIU. And when it came time to fill out all the legal work and move forward with this, you know, we really couldn't figure out to think of a name at the time. But since we both went to NIU and we both lived in Chicago, you take 88 East to get to Chicago. So it kind of made sense. So we went that route.
So you were at Northern Illinois University. You were working part-time as a bartender, and that's how you got the idea for this. Tell us what it is 88 East does.
So 88 East, we actually have two products. We have a Moscow Mule in a can, which is, you know, we use real vodka and ginger beer and lime. And we also have a Bloody Mary called Vintage Vine.
And you got the idea for this because you were mixing the drinks, and it just seemed simpler to make it than prepackaged?
Yeah. So, well, what happened was we didn't get the idea in college. We were friends in college, but after college, I moved down to the city, and I was in the finance world, either broker or trader for 10 years, and I always bartended on the weekends part-time, and, you know, I just saw a lot of the people were drinking and everything, and I talked to my buddy, and we finally decided, like, hey, this seems like a good idea. Let's, you know, put these products together and take them to the market.
This is a very competitive field that you are in. How do you survive and thrive?
It is tough. I mean, it's a very expensive field. It's really controlled by a lot of the big brands, but a lot of it is just kind of you have to go door to door, walk in the streets, and to try to get in front of the buyers. And it's the grind. You really have to grind to get ahead in it.
We always like to hear the stories behind the entrepreneur, and also what advice you may give to someone who's listening to you right now and saying, "I'd like to get it." You know, start a company too.
I think the best advice is, you know, no matter how much you plan, you know, we sat down and we drew up a business plan and model and everything, but the reality is once you go to market and you start actually doing the work, you realize the plan's kind of out the window and you really have to adapt and change as you go through. And there's really no, like, magic bullet for anything. It's really just you got to work hard and keep grinding at it.
Now, do you plan to expand beyond the Bloody Mary mix and the Moscow Mule?
Yeah, we do. We're actually right now trying to come up with another a cocktail in a can we're working on right now. So hopefully we can have that ready by next summer.
And where do you sell these? How do you sell them? Through which venues?
The Bloody Mary, you can find at some of the local bars and restaurants in Chicago. You can also pick it up at Mariano's and Select Meyers and Whole Foods. The Moscow Mule, you can find at Mariano's. It's going to be launching in some of the Walmarts in Indiana, Illinois, Missouri, and Michigan in the next few weeks. So.
And you're also online.
Yeah, you can get the Bloody Mary online.
All right. Well, best wishes to you, Jeff, and your partner. We'll be checking in with you in the future. Jeff Shelton is co-founder of 88 East Beverage Company here in Chicago. Still to come, there are times you may want to take a pass on travel booking sites and go straight to the source.
Money Talks, as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Travel booking sites can provide great deals on airfares and hotels and car rentals, but not every time. Let's learn more from Cindy Richards, editor-in-chief, the online family travel magazine, TravelingMom.com in Chicago. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Cindy, when is it more appropriate to call the venue itself, just you and the venue, without booking with a third party?
Well, you want to back up a step, because what you always want to do is check those third parties. And by that, we mean the travel aggregators like Expedia or Orbit or Hotels.com, Booking.com, all those kinds of ones. You want to, if you're looking for a hotel or a flight, you always want to check those aggregators. The reason being that they're good search engines, right? They'll tell you what are the options, what hotels still have rooms available, wherever it is you're looking, and give you some price ideas. But you never want to book with them immediately.
So where do you take that information?
So what you want to do is go directly to the hotel or to the airline and see if they'll meet the best price that you found on the aggregator site. Don't call the hotel 800 number. Call the front desk at the hotel where you want to stay and tell them that you just found this price for $99 a night through booking.com, and would they meet the price? And the reason you want to do that is because if there's any kind of a problem with the booking, the hotel or the airline is going to not be able to help you because you booked your ticket or your room through a third party.
And is there some incentive on the hotel's part to actually maybe even cut the price? So, I mean, because they're facing increasing competition from these online travel agencies.
Well, absolutely. I mean, they may not cut the price from 90, you know, if their regular hotel rate is 129 a night, they might not cut it below 99, but they should meet that price because oftentimes they're having to pay a fee to the third-party aggregators to fill their rooms, especially if you're looking for a hotel at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night. Those are rooms they're probably not going to rent anyway. So see what you can do. You can always ask, right? All they can say is no.
And how is the travel looking this time of year to you?
Well, it's the beginning of the summer, so families and people have kids in school. They're all starting to book their summer vacations. And, you know, it's always a little dicey to be able to know how bookings are going to go. Gas prices are, you know, creeping up a little bit, but they're still below our historic highs. So road trips are going to be in, people taking trips, which means that you're going to be on the road and you're going to want to book a hotel when you're like, I'm getting tired, we need to pull over. And then you're going to be going on your phone and looking at the apps like Hotels Tonight and looking for something, and then just call the hotel before you book it.
Thanks, Cindy. Happy travels. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at cbschicago.com/audio and play.it.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's get the latest on the markets with Elisa Parenti.
Chris, it's another winning session with the three main benchmarks pushing higher into record territory. The Dow up 68, NASDAQ advancing 54 now, or almost 1%, S&P up 9. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is higher by a third of a percent. Rosemont-based U.S. Food says it is acquiring F. Christiana, a food distributor that's been family-owned for three generations. F. Christiana has almost $100 million in annual sales and serves 1,800 independent restaurant, hotel, and deli and convenience store customers in the South. Stock in U.S. Foods is actually down about 1% in the wake of that news. Crude oil futures are lower by more than 1% to $47.78 a barrel. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.